Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. I am your host, Sarah, and today is Holy Monday, the Monday of Holy Week. It is April 10th, 2017, and today we'll be discussing the lectionary text, the assigned lectionary text for this week, April 9th, which was Palm Sunday yesterday, and that is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. But as I was thinking about this week and what I wanted it to look like in terms of the podcast, in terms of exploring the Bible, exploring this Holy Week, I realized that I did want to explore the texts that are assigned for the lectionary texts assigned for the week for Palm Sunday. But I also wanted to do what I encouraged myself and you to do in the last podcast, which was to spend some time really looking at Jesus's week in Jerusalem, Jesus's time in Jerusalem, his journey from Palm Sunday and the shouts of Hosanna to Good Friday and the shouts of Crucify Him through to Easter. And so in addition to looking at the Isaiah text that is assigned for this week, I also want to look at the gospel text that is assigned specifically to Holy Monday. And that gospel text is from the Gospel of John, and we'll be speaking more about that later. It means that we will go through and see a little bit more of what happens in this week that turns those crowds, that turn those crowds against Jesus, that lead to Jesus's death on the cross. So Holy Week is, some people pay a lot of attention to it. Some people don't pay much attention to it. It just depends on your tradition. It just depends on your own sensibilities. For me, the Monday, Tuesday, maybe Wednesday of Holy Week growing up, I didn't really pay much attention to because we didn't have services on those days. We always had Lenten soup suppers on Wednesday, but during Holy Week, there wasn't a Wednesday service. I know some churches do continue to have a Wednesday service during Holy Week, but some don't. So growing up, I didn't really pay much attention to these first few days of Holy Week. I looked forward to Maundy Thursday and that service. I looked forward to, I don't know if you look forward to Good Friday, but Good Friday service was in there. And then, of course, you look forward to Easter. As a kid, of course, I looked forward to Easter for a lot of reasons. Chocolate was one of them. But I also loved sunrise service. I would get up, and I grew up in Montana, so it was never warm for sunrise service. But getting up early and going out and celebrating Easter. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. So today, as I said, I want to talk about the text from Isaiah that's assigned for this week, that's assigned for Palm Sunday, but for this week. And then I want to look at the gospel reading that is assigned specifically for Holy Monday. And so I'm going to be starting with the Isaiah text after this short break. So stay tuned and I will be right back.
Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast. As I mentioned before the break, we're going to start this episode with the Isaiah reading that was assigned for Palm Sunday of this Holy Week. And that reading is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a. And those verses are as follows. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Again, that is Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9a, and assigned for this week of April 9th, which is Holy Week. And this is a really appropriate Holy Week text. It might seem a little odd if you're thinking of Palm Sunday and this text together. If you joined me yesterday, then you know that Palm Sunday is often Palm / Passion Sunday. So this text makes a little more sense in context of that Passion reading where we see Jesus's trial and crucifixion, etc. We can definitely see some of Jesus in this text, right? The Lord has given me the tongue of a teacher. Jesus was certainly a teacher. This text is often thought to describe Jesus, you know, kind of beforehand, a foreshadowing of Jesus. It's often referred to as one of the psalms that is a suffering servant psalm. And you can understand why, because the servant has been given this gift, given the tongue of a teacher, ability to sustain the weary with a word. He's awakened every day to listen as those who are taught. And it says that God opened his ears. So he was not rebellious. He did not turn backward. But then we see that things are not going well for him because, you know, he continues by saying, I gave my back to those who struck me. I gave my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. He is being, in modern parlance, you could say he's being bullied, but he's definitely being persecuted. I don't know if he is preaching or teaching things that people don't want to hear, but they are not responding well. And even so, this servant, this teacher, remains faithful, remains steadfast. I was not rebellious, he says. I have set my face like flint. God helps me. He says, God helps me. I haven't been disgraced. Even with all of the things that are going on, I rely on God. And this is a really beautiful text. I rely on God. And it's God who vindicates him, he says. I know that I shall not be put to shame. And I love this last half of the, it's only half a verse, it's 9a, it's the beginning of verse 9. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? This is a faithful, faithful servant who has put his trust in God, who is doing the work that God has assigned to him. He is doing the work of a teacher. And even though his words apparently are not being heard well, it doesn't matter. He's going to do his work. He's going to trust that God will take care of him. He's not going to be rebellious. He is going to turn the other cheek. And you can see why this is often seen as a prophecy, a foreshadowing of Jesus, because this really is. Jesus came. He was a teacher. People didn't like what he had to say, and yet he continued. He persisted. He taught what God had sent him to teach. He spoke to those of God's love. He spoke to his followers. He spoke to those who came to see him of God's love, of God's promises. And he wasn't the Messiah that people were expecting. So a lot of people didn't appreciate him because they came to him with their own desires, their own perceptions of what he should be as the Messiah. And he didn't always fulfill those expectations. He didn't fit into those perceptions. So as I said, this section of this psalm is often referred to as the suffering servant, and it's actually the third of four. So if you look through the book of Isaiah, you'll see four different passages that fall under that category of suffering servant songs. The three other songs, if you want to look them up, appear in Isaiah 42, verses 1 through 4, Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 6, and Isaiah 52, verses 13 through 50, chapter 53, verse 12. And so there is some debate as to the identity of the servant. Of course, you know, a lot of people say it's Jesus. Traditional Jewish interpretation identifies the servant with the suffering nation of ancient Israel. And then other scholars posit that the servant was in fact the prophet, was in fact Isaiah himself. So you can, of course, look at this from the context of Jesus, but that is looking backwards at this text. It's important also to understand these texts as they would have been understood before Jesus' time from the Jewish perspective. And so traditional Jewish interpretation, again, identifies the servant as the suffering nation of Israel as a whole. And you can understand, you know, the nation of Israel went through extremely hard times, and yet they persisted. Even though they weren't always faithful in their relationship to God, they did have that relationship with God. And so you can see how these suffering servant songs could, in fact, describe the nation of Israel as a whole. And of course, Jesus has been seen in these servant songs. And so I do want to look at a commentary really quickly. And this commentary comes from Walter C. Buzard. Again, I apologize if I pronounce names incorrectly, but he is a professor of religion and philosophy at Wartburg College, which is in Waverly, Iowa. And he says that since early in the church's history, interpreters have seen in the servant, the figure of Jesus Christ. And that opinion perseveres in the works of some contemporary scholars who are open to an understanding of biblical inspiration that includes predictive prophecy. So you see that, you know, a lot of people do see that foreshadowing, this predictive prophecy. This is Jesus that's being described here, even though Jesus was not around yet. So he says, whether it's possible or desirable to return to an earlier pre-critical understanding of biblical prophecy is beyond the scope of present discussion. Save this, he says, my modest claim. Jesus Christ certainly did fulfill Old Testament prophecy in the sense that the older texts were filled full of new meaning in the light of the Christ event. So that's instead of predictive prophecy, he's saying that when we read through some of the Old Testament texts, we definitely see the fulfilling of prophecy through Jesus, whether it was written about Israel or whether it was written about Jesus doesn't really matter. But Jesus fulfills some of those prophecies, which is what he came to do. He came to fulfill prophecy, but also to give us a different understanding of not only prophecy, but the law of God's love for us, of God's promises to us. And so he says that the alignment of the third servant song on Passion Sunday is a case in point. Whomever the servant was in the context of the 6th century prophet who wrote this section of Isaiah, the lectionary's juxtaposition of this text with Jesus' looming passion cast the shadow of a cross over the servant's song. The indignities suffered by the servant in verse 6 become the story of Jesus' passion. And so I do appreciate this. I mean, I like that he's saying what I was trying to say, only he's saying it more coherently. He's saying it a lot better than I could say it. But it does really read into how we experience the passion that we have these texts from Isaiah that describe this suffering servant, that really do describe what Jesus is going to go through in this week, what he's actually even already gone through, because he wasn't always met with approval wherever he went. You know, we hear stories of him being, you know, thrown out of his hometown of Nazareth. We hear stories of people rejecting him, rejecting his teachings, rejecting his miracles. And that all culminates in the events of Holy Week as he goes through, as he is now in Jerusalem, and everything starts to come to a head where people's expectations and reasons for seeking Jesus out just kind of explode into this, you aren't the Messiah that we expected, and the leaders start seeing him as dangerous and all of these things. So he is... we really can see him in the suffering servant. Doesn't mean that this text was written about Jesus, but it doesn't really matter if it was written about Jesus or wasn't written about Jesus. It's a really good text to pair with the Passion reading. It's a really good text to read in Holy Week because it does give us that picture of Jesus. It does give us a picture of him as a servant. And of course, he does suffer greatly during this Passion Week for a variety of reasons. But it also reminds us that he was given a ministry. He was going to fulfill that ministry no matter what. He was here to teach. He was here to show us a new way of thinking about God's love. And so we're going to move on now to the gospel reading that's assigned for Holy Monday, but we are going to take our second break first. So stay tuned, and when we come back, we'll be talking about the Gospel of John.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast on today, Monday, April 10th, the Monday of Holy Week, Holy Monday. Before the break, I was talking about the assigned lectionary Old Testament text from Isaiah that is assigned for Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, and the reason that that fits so well with the story of the Passion, the reason it fits so well with the story of Holy Week and Jesus' experience. And as I said at the beginning, I do want us to walk through Holy Week together and see some of the things that are going on and what is happening that leads to the events of both Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. And so the lectionary text assigned for today, Holy Monday, is from, as I said before, the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, and those are as follows. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed to Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there, they came not only because of Jesus, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to put Lazarus to death as well, since it was on account of him that many of the Jews were deserting and were believing in Jesus. Again, that's the gospel assigned for Holy Monday, John 12, verses 1 through 11. And if you join me on Saturday for that podcast, we talked about the story that was assigned for last week for April 2nd, the lectionary text assigned for the week of April 2nd, and that tells the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And I said, you know, what do you think Lazarus's life was like afterwards? And here we get a glimpse into that. We do see that people are coming to see Lazarus because Jesus did raise him from the dead. They're still coming to see Jesus as well, who did this miracle, but they want to see Jesus. They want to see Lazarus. And you can understand that, right? So the people are, they still have an avid curiosity about both Jesus, but now about Lazarus. And this story is interesting because Jesus is back in Bethany. He is with his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they are serving him dinner. What's interesting about this story in John's gospel is that it's Mary in this story who anoints Jesus' feet, who wipes them with her hair. If you read this story in the other Gospels, then it is a certain woman. And that woman gets a bad rap. She's often described as a prostitute, even though it doesn't say anything about that in the text. She's just described as a sinner. And hey, that applies to all of us, right? So we don't know who that woman was. But in John's Gospel, he makes that woman Mary, sister of Martha and Lazarus. And the identity isn't important so much as the act that she performs. She anoints Jesus for his burial. Jesus knows what is coming. He knows what will happen in the not so very distant future. And so whoever this woman is, whether it's Mary or just a general woman who is described as a sinner, she comes to Jesus and she anoints his feet with expensive perfume. She anoints his body for burial, which was a traditional Jewish custom to anoint the body, not usually before death, but she's doing this beforehand, and she wipes Jesus's feet with her hair. She cares for Jesus. She takes care of Jesus. And so we see this in this text, but we also see the foreshadowing of what's to come. So Jesus in John's gospel is here, and we see that the things are coming to a head. Again, people are curious because Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. They want to see Lazarus. They want to see Jesus. They're all talking about this. And this brings us to the attention of the chief priests. And we see here that the chief priests are planning to put Lazarus to death as well. And it doesn't say as well as Jesus, but that's what they mean. The chief priests were already at this point plotting, planning, whatever you want to say, to kill not only Jesus, but Lazarus, which seems, you know, really unfair to poor Lazarus. But they, because people were wanting to see Lazarus, because they were starting to not understand, but they were seeing Lazarus and they were starting to perceive Jesus in a certain way, Jesus was becoming more of a threat. Jesus is not directly confronting the powers, whether that's the Jewish powers or the Roman powers, but he is starting to make those powers nervous because they are, it says, many of the Jews were deserting and believing in Jesus. So leaders, you know, often work out of fear. It's a state of human being, right? It's a state of our humanness, right? All of us work out of fear. So the chief priests are concerned because they don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They don't think that he is who he says he is. And yet with the things that he's doing, with the raising of Lazarus, people are starting to desert their beliefs, desert their synagogues, and starting to believe in Jesus. And this was concerning for the leaders. And you can understand that from the leadership point of view. We have the perspective of 2,000 years to know that Jesus is who he said he was. But if you think about it, if you're a leader in that time and your followers, your parishioners are suddenly believing in this person who says he is the Messiah, you can see how they might be a little leery. We want to scold them, right? We want to say, he is the Messiah. You're just being stubborn. You're being stupid. You're not paying attention. But they're human, right? And I can understand where they would be concerned. Maybe they should have done a little more looking into this, but they were just concerned. They didn't want their parishioners to be led astray. They didn't want their parishioners to follow what could very well be a false prophet or a false Messiah. So they're concerned. Seems a little extreme that they decide they're going to put him to death, but it was a different time. These, you know, it's not the times that we live in. So we see here that Jesus is progressing toward Good Friday. We see how things are starting to turn. We see the foreshadowing. We also see the foreshadowing of Judas's betrayal. And I really like how John's gospel, there's a couple of places that have parentheses. And for instance, Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus's disciples, and then in parentheses, the one who was about to betray him. So even if you didn't know this story, John just gives it right away. He says, well, you know, sorry, giant spoiler alert, Judas is going to betray Jesus. But that's to remind us that, you know, so this Judas Iscariot is in fact the one who does betray Jesus. And then he brings up his concern that this perfume, this nard, was really expensive, and why didn't they use that money for the poor? And then in parentheses, John writes, Judas said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. So John is really working hard to let you know that Judas is not a good guy. John does not want you to like Judas. John wants you to know that things are going to happen soon and Judas is going to be in the thick of them. Whether or not Judas really was a thief, whether he was not concerned with the poor, that's a podcast for another time. Obviously, Judas is the one who betrays Jesus, but we don't know a lot about Judas. We do know that he betrays Jesus, and so John is using this moment right here to just try to give us an idea of who he sees Judas as being. And if Judas betrays Jesus, then clearly he wasn't a good guy. And so John is trying to say, you know, pay attention to this guy. He's not good. He's a thief. He is going to betray Jesus. So we're definitely being led to not like Judas, to not trust Judas, just from these brief verses. So again, this is a gospel assigned for Holy Monday, the Monday of Holy Week, and we are starting to see things turning against Jesus. In this reading, he's not yet in Jerusalem. He is about to go to Jerusalem. You can see this as maybe a stop on his journey. He's visiting with his friends. He's having dinner with them. He's enjoying some time of community and fellowship with his friends, with his disciples. But as part of this, because he is having friends with this particular family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he had just raised Lazarus from the dead, people are starting to be suspicious. The general populace is starting to be curious. They're starting to wonder, who is Jesus? This explains some of the crowds that gather around Jesus when he enters Jerusalem and welcome him with shouts of Hosanna, welcome him with laying their cloaks on the ground and the palms on the ground. But it also lays the groundwork for the leadership, both Roman and Jewish, to be suspicious of Jesus, to be concerned about Jesus and what his message is, what he's doing, where he's going, what he is trying to accomplish. So that is the Monday reading, and I hope, again, as I said before, that you are listening to these texts and kind of immersing yourself in Jesus' story during Holy Week. Whenever I say things like that, I hope you're doing this. I always feel like I'm being really bossy and I'm telling you what to do. And you might not feel like that. It's just my own weird little tick. But I'm really not being bossy and telling you what to do. It's more, I'm saying that this is what I'm trying to do during Holy Week, and I invite you to do this as well, or to take on your own practice, but to really immerse yourself in the events of this week, just to find some way to experience Holy Week in maybe a way that you haven't before, which is what I'm trying to do. So that is all of the time that we have for today. Thank you for joining me as we talked about the lectionary Old Testament text assigned for this week, which was from Isaiah chapter 50, and the lectionary assigned gospel for today, Holy Monday, which was from the Gospel of John. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for first the reading of the discussion of the psalm assigned for this week, which is Psalm 31, as well as the reading assigned for tomorrow, Holy Tuesday, the lectionary reading, and that reading is from, again, the Gospel of John, chapter 12. Again, thank you for joining me. I want to remind you, as always, that you can find this podcast as well as all of our podcasts on www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, any of the apps that you use on your mobile device. And you can follow us on social media. I would love to hear from you. What do you have to say? What are your concerns? What are your thoughts? What's your favorite part of Holy Week? What's your favorite part of Palm Sunday? Favorite part of Easter? Anything like that. You can engage me on social media. Where this podcast is on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Thank you for joining me. And as I finish every podcast, I want to remind you that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.